Again, thankful for Father's Day. I'm going to start by telling you, even though Dad ain't here, I'm going to tell you how thankful I am for my dad.
Yes.
And I am thankful God has allowed him the privilege of being with me even to my old age. I'm thankful for the privilege of having a good dad. I tell you what,
amen.
If you've had a good dad in life, it is a great privilege and advantage in life. You have been blessed with a great privilege and a great advantage, and you ought to be thankful. Amen? And if you still have your father with you, you ought to go out of your way today to express the thanks for being a good dad. Not only is it a privilege to have a good dad, it's a privilege to be a dad. Do you know that?
Yes.
It's a privilege. It's a responsibility. I know that. But it's also a privilege to be a dad. And as I said, also a privilege to be a grandpa. The family's under attack today. And I tell you what, from most information your child will receive, most information you receive over public medium, through public education or any other way, the family is being undermined. The value of a traditional family is being discredited and diminished. And it is subtle, and sometimes, I tell you what, it is working if you see how people are responding in society.
Amen.
The family is the core unit of society. That is the base unit of society. It's where values are taught. It's where values are learned.
Right.
It's where behavior is taught and modeled.
Right.
God designed the family, right? God could have made us all come into the world as adults because He could have done anything, right? But He chose to set up families because parents are to instruct their kids about life. You know, I raise little chickens. It takes them about one day to be eaten on their own, and two or three days, they can do that on. Well, actually, from day one, they can do without parents, right?
Right.
People ain't that way.
No.
People are needy for a long time. If you ever raise kids, or if you're currently raising kids, you find out they are needy for a long time. Amen? And God did that on purpose. Because God wanted us to have time to not only instruct them about life, God wanted us to have time to instill in our children a knowledge of God. We're to teach and model God's love in front of our kids. We're to teach and model moral values.
Yes.
We're to teach self-discipline. Amen? That's why the kids, that's why they're given families. So they can learn how to function correctly with other people. That they can be correctly related to God and correctly relate to other people.
Right.
That's the purpose of a family. Amen?
Amen.
It's also where we learn about love. So that we can understand God's love to us. Amen?
Yeah.
It's where people ought to learn what a father and mother's love is so that they can know how God loves them.
Right.
I want to study this morning a little bit about the responsibility. I was going to say and privilege, but really, honestly, I'm going to talk more about the responsibility of parenting than I am the privilege this morning. And we're going to talk to both mom and dad. I know it's Father's Day, but Mother's Day we were locked up and there were so many other pressing issues that we spoke on something else. So we're going to talk to both mom and dads this morning. And I'm going to start this morning by reminding us again, I will start here, it's a privilege to be a parent.
Amen?
Amen? Too often today, and I think especially for our moms, children are looked at as a hindrance.
Right.
It's an obstacle to achieving things in life, a hindrance to pursuing a career.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true, by the way.
Yeah.
In fact, our society's transformed the last 30 or 40 years from being a one-income family to a two-income family.
Right.
To support the basic means of life. That's really what's happened. Used to, the wage paid was sufficient for one income to carry a family primarily. That ain't so anymore. But having children is still a great privilege.
Amen.
Psalms 127 and 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Children are an inheritance of the Lord. What's an inheritance? What's an inheritance? It's something of value passed down to you from a previous generation, right? Something that's been passed down to you that has great value. Children are something of great value that's been passed on to us by God Himself. Amen? All souls belong to God. Children are a reward from God. It's a good thing God's favored us with. Amen? And that's how we ought to view it. Now, do I believe that it's always roses and it's never frustrating? I raised four, by the way. And I do know the challenges on every level of raising kids. Now, I ain't dealt with everything you've dealt with. But you ain't dealt with everything I dealt with either. The very verse of Scripture we read this morning in Psalms 127 says, blessed, that means happy,
amen,
is a person who has a house of children. Mm-hmm. Says has a quiver full.
Right.
He didn't say how big the quiver was, how many it'd take to fill it up. But it said, blessed is a person that has a house of children.
Amen.
I will tell you, one of the blessings of having children is the real love in a correct parent-child relationship. There ain't nothing else that compares when you have a parent that really loves you or a child that really loves you. Amen? I tell you what, the whole world can be spinning out of control like it is now, but there's a safe refuge when you're with ones whom love you and whom you love. And that's the home. Love's one of the most precious gifts that you can experience in life. I don't care what realm it is. Love's one of the most precious things you can experience in life. In fact, without love, life's very hollow, very meaningless, very drear. Honest, it is. The love between a parent and child is special. It's strong. It withstands a lot. I have seen some dire situations. The love of the parent and child has, or at least the love of the child to the parent, has withstood a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's enduring. It's not fleeting. It's not just for a season. It's not just till they turn 18 and it's over.
No.
It's a love that can provide stability for our whole life.
Amen.
Another blessing of children's companionship. Mm-hmm. We're not alone in the world.
Yes,
there's a sense of belonging that comes with a good family. There's an acceptance that comes with having children. You know, I could have got beat up all day on the job, but I was still a hero when I got home. No matter how bad it went that day, I still had love and respect in the home. There's an esteem that comes from being a parent. Little kids, and even when they get older, look up to mom and dad. Amen? Another blessing of having children is security. Somebody who honestly cares about you. That may not mean that much, but as you start getting older, that'll take on some more meaning. There's a security in having somebody that'll help you out, care for you,
yes,
even provide for you if necessary.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Amen. Now, not only is having children a blessing, but it is a responsibility.
True.
As parents, we have a great responsibility.
Amen.
You're responsible to care for, nourish, provide for, and teach your children. Amen? We're to prepare them for life and take care of all their needs.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
God has given us that little child, and I tell you what, when the weight of that hits you, because it ain't easy.
True.
Amen? It ain't always easy. When the weight of that hits you, it can be a tremendous weight.
Amen.
We have a great responsibility. But among all those responsibilities, the most important preparation for life is preparing your kid to know God.
Yes.
To know the truth about a real and living God. The meaning of our existence. The purpose of life. That's the greatest responsibility.
Amen.
God's entrusted the teaching and training of these little eternal beings to you.
Amen.
Once they're brought into the world, they're going to exist forever.
Yeah.
A short time here. And then there's only two choices, folks. It's either going to be eternal bliss in a place that's perfect beyond all description.
Right.
Or a place that's a torment and despair beyond all description. There couldn't be two more different destinations. Now, we got a jumbled up mess in this world, a mixture of them.
Amen.
The truth is, it's more like heaven than it is hell. That's the real truth. Because hell, you can't even imagine a place where there's absolutely no end, no hope, no good of any kind, nothing but suffering. We can't even imagine that. And yet, that's what awaits. All souls belong to God.
True.
But the children He gives you, He's entrusted to you.
Right.
God desires that everybody would come to know and trust Him.
Amen.
When you boil it all down, that's really the only reason for our existence.
Uh-huh.
truthfully, when it's all boiled down. There's a real eternity that waits all of us.
Think about it.
And where we spend eternity is often, and I mean more often than not, the majority of the time, is determined while people are yet in the home and children.
Yeah.
Now, they may not come to know God, but the foundation and the knowledge and everything goes into that. Now, there's exceptions. My dad being one of them and others. There's exceptions. God, in His mercy, saves all he can.
Right.
But I tell you, statistically, most people that come to know God come to know Him early in life.
Yeah.
What an awesome responsibility we have.
True.
Listen to me now. If you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to hear this. Listen. Your greatest responsibility as a parent, your greatest responsibility in life is to teach your children to know God.
Amen.
Nothing else compares that. Nothing else. Not preparing them for a career, not preparing them how to interact with people, not preparing them to be good people. Nothing else compares to your responsibility to teach your children to know God.
True.
We are to help our children come to know God for themselves. That means it's more than just teaching about Him. Amen? We are to teach about Him, but it's more than that. It's a teaching them to come to know Him in a real relationship for themselves. Amen. It's a lot easier to command people to do than it is to help them come into a real relationship. Amen. When God called Abraham to be father of the faith, the one He is going to really reveal Himself to, the one in whose family He was going to give the law and do His great revelation, through him, the father of the faith, Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? Genesis 18:17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" This is God speaking. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of."
Yes.
Why did he choose Abraham? Because he knew Abraham would teach the truth to his children, to his household, and succeeding generations. Amen? If he didn't teach his children and succeeding generations, the truth would have been lost.
Right.
Amen? God has kept His word, kept a knowledge of Himself, primarily through families, not through churches.
No.
God primarily has, through families, transferred the knowledge of Himself from generation to generation.
Yes.
Now, church has a part to play in that, obviously.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But it is primarily through families that the knowledge of God is passed from generation to generation. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Only take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons."
Yes.
Hey, got grandma and grandpa in this now too, don't we?
Amen.
Hey, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to continue to model and to train our children to know God.
Amen.
Amen. Truth can be lost in a generation. You know you've seen it.
Yep.
You know people who grew up knowing the truth, hearing the truth, and they didn't accept it, and their kids are no better off than if they had never known the truth.
Right.
Completely ignorant of the truth about God.
Yep.
Amen?
Yes.
Teaching about God is to be an integral part of our life.
Right.
In the home, amen?
Uh-huh.
Out of the home,
yeah.
It's not just the church's responsibility, and certainly school ain't taking up the slack there. Amen? Teaching about God is one of your chief responsibilities in the home. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." First commandment, right? "And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." What's he saying? It's a permeator life all the time, right? To fulfill this commandment, listen to me now. To fulfill this commandment requires that we really, truly know God for ourselves.
Amen. That's right.
You cannot correctly fulfill this commandment without knowing God for yourself. Your walk with God should be a real part of your everyday life. Your relationship with God should permeate all of your life. It should be a consciousness of you and God, a consciousness of your relationship with God. And it should permeate to where it becomes natural to talk about.
Yeah.
Amen. The things that fill your mind all day, it's natural for them to come out in conversation.
Yeah.
If you allow somebody to talk for about 5 minutes and they get relaxed, what they're really thinking about usually starts coming out of their mouth. Most people.
That's true.
What's on your mind?
Yeah.
With your kids?
Uh-huh.
When situations come up, is it natural to talk about God's involvement in every aspect of life? Truthfully, it ought to be. Amen?
Yes.
It ought to be. Not just as a preacher, because I live a regular life. I got a job. I go through everything you go through.
Mm-hmm.
Regular life. But it ought to be a natural part of our life that we talk about God naturally. In events, in sports, in working on the car, in working around, and just talking about the events of life. I try continually to put the events of life, what's going on in our world, in the context of God, God's control, God's purposes. And I don't know everything, but at least it's out for conversation, and we can talk about it. Amen? Because we need a godly perspective. Your kids need to know it's the most important thing in your life. He says, teach them diligently to your children. That requires that people say, well, I just live it. No, you don't. If you don't talk about it, all they think is that's just who you are. Teaching requires we talk about the things of God. We ought to be prepared to explain and instruct as if their souls depended on it, because they do. Grandma and Grandpa.
Yep.
And you got to, and listen, our society's changed in that there is more responsibility on parents than there used to be. There is more weight on mom and dad financially and pressures in a lot of ways that I didn't face. And I'm not that old, really. I know, it's a bit close, but not really that old yet. But they face different pressures.
Yeah.
As grandma and grandpa, we ought to be doing everything we can to help alleviate them to be able to structure their life so they can instruct their kids in the things of God. You ought to be talking to the grandkids about the things of God. You ought to be explaining things about it too. Amen? One of the great advantages my kids had in life over me was they had their grandparents who had a real walk with God on both sides. Brother and sister Ryan Ball, my mom and dad all had a true walk with God, and they lived it and they talked it, and the kids had that expanded influence of the things of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? Explain and instruct the things of God as if their very souls depend on it, because in large extent it does. Be regular in your church attendance. What you choose shows what's really important. Psalms 122 and 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That ought to be our attitude. Now, I know sometimes it's a chore. I know sometimes when I get home, especially on Wednesday night, if I've had a long day and it's been a stressor, I'd much rather sit on the couch at that moment, about 6, than I wouldn't get ready and come. But I've always found that when I come, God blesses me.
Yes.
It's worth the trip.
Amen.
Listen, be careful not to diminish the spiritual means by which God works with your children. Be very careful and guarded about your comments concerning the body of Christ.
That's right.
If you talk like everybody's a hypocrite, what do you think your kid's going to grow up thinking?
That's
right. Ain't nothing to this.
Yep.
We all have frustrations with other believers. They're people like you are. They have frustrations with you, by the way, too. Don't talk them. You know, kids and little, they don't have all the discernment and sorting out mechanisms that sometimes we acquire as adults.
True.
And if you're teaching them that ain't nothing to this religious thing, don't be surprised if that's how they respond when they get older.
Well,
amen? Teach. Live it. Talk about it. make it a conscious purpose in your life. Helping our children come to know God requires love. Mm-hmm. You won't accomplish it without true love. Mm-hmm. First of all, a real love for God.
Right.
Your kids are going to know better than anybody else how much your love for God is real and how much of it's just talk. They live with you every day. They know how much you're just putting on and how much is real.
Yes.
God help us. 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous.
Right.
That's plain enough, ain't it?
Yeah.
How do you know if you love God? If you walk in obedience and it ain't a grueling thing, a burdensome thing all the time? Demonstrate your love for God by a consistent, conscientious walk with God. By that, I mean give God the benefit of the doubt. I see most people, and this is the vast majority of people today, if there's not a clear-cut commandment against it, they give themselves liberty in it.
Right.
Honest. And that's opposite the way it ought to be, folks.
True.
Unless we know we're in a safe path, especially when your kids are following you and their lives, their very spiritual lives depend on you, don't walk close to the edge. Take the safe path.
Amen.
Take the path you know pleases God. Amen? If you have doubts about whether it pleases God or not, stay away from it till all doubt is removed.
Amen.
Folks, we're talking about helping your kids make it to heaven. This is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about helping your grandkids make
right.
it to heaven. What? Listen, what you allow in moderation, your children will often just allow in excess.
Right.
Some of us were brought up in some very strict lifestyle applications of holiness. And we have cautions against things that we may allow, but we never caution, knowing this has got a certain degree of danger in it. Your kids probably don't have that. Your grandkids probably don't have that. Be careful what you allow. There's a lot of things in my life that I honestly could do, and not wound my conscience.
Right.
I haven't changed. And one of the reasons I haven't changed is because of the influence I have on others.
Amen.
I have every confidence that I can maintain the same walk with God that I have now and allow those, and I'm not going to mention them because you may or may not be allowed, but I have every confidence I could.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't affect my walk with God. But I am careful because I know it's likely to affect others.
True.
Stay on the safe path.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, stay on the safe path. So first, teach your kids about God requires a real love for God. Secondly, keep your love alive in your marriage.
Yes.
The love between mom and dad is foundational to love in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Titus 2:4 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. The word of God be not blasphemed.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Pretty high standard there, folks.
Yes, sir.
Many families are being torn apart by selfishness.
Yeah.
Selfishness is the enemy of love.
Amen.
Love's not self-centered. It's not focused on oneself. Love is giving. In the passages we just read, mom's instructed to love dad, and dad's instructed to love mom like Christ loved us.
Right.
That's a pretty high standard to shoot for, isn't it?
Amen.
Self-sacrificing, giving, because that's what it requires to be a dad.
Yep.
To be a good dad, to help your kids know God, it requires self-sacrificing giving. Not what you want, but what's best for everybody. Amen? Mom's instructed to love dad. That's not always easy either, is it? And love the children. Hey, these things take effort.
Yes.
Honest, they do. But if we don't give effort to them, we're going to reap many of the consequences we see people reaping today. This is the starting point of a successful home. The husband to love his wife, and the wife to love her husband. Mom and dad love each other. That love ought to be shown in what we do, what we say, and how we interact with each other.
and all the frustrations.
Yeah.
A home lacking in love soon just going to be a house.
Yeah.
That's all it's going to be, where people live together. Our passage in Titus instructs mothers to love your children. That would seem to be, you know, strong natural love of a mother for her children, but yet it's so possible to get caught up in our own life and fail to nurture and show that love. I see it much today. So much of our society is self-focused. Really, the selfie is a good emblem of what's happening in our society, because society has become so focused on, this is me. Well, not really. This is the version of me I want you to think is me. And this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is important. I just ate this. Isn't that great? I just went here. Isn't that great? I tell you what, it has a subtle effect on everybody.
Yep.
And if you ever see me post a selfie, you should smack me. Because best of my knowledge, I have never in my life picked up my phone and purposely took a picture of myself. In fact, I am distressed and usually edit myself out of pictures other people's. Take of me and send to me, especially my grandkids and kids. You'll see, I crop them down, get me out of there. Hey, in all seriousness, be careful of becoming so focused on self. Being a good parent isn't about self very much. It's about taking care of others. Even teaching and disciplining our kids requires love and patience. Love has to be shown in discipline for it to be effective. The intent of discipline should always be to correct and guide future decisions.
Amen.
Amen. When kids are young, pain and disobedience need linked together, because that's the level on which young kids think.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And my kids can tell you, they receive the vast majority of their physical correction before they ever reach 5 years old, and very little by the time they reach 10. Because you link it early. Link it early. Amen?
Right.
Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Yep.
Correction and discipline should be done in love,
Amen.
Not anger.
No.
You may have a twinge of that, I will admit. But love and discipline should be done in love with the intent of helping the child be able to successfully live life and make good choices.
Right.
Amen? Discipline must be done in love and patience. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. We're not to provoke our children to anger and frustration by unreasonable demands.
Right.
Rules without reasons. I hate them.
Yeah.
Should have a reason why. My list of rules was short, because I intend them to be obeyed. You may have 100 rules, but if you think 50 of them are... We, in training for customer service, we used to describe red rules and blue rules. We had a whole bunch of blue rules. That meant under certain circumstances, certain people could make an exception to that rule. Red rules were rules that, it didn't matter who you were, this was a no-no, this is the way it's done every time.
Right.
On the home, you may have hundreds of rules, but be careful. You know the difference between red and blue rules.
Amen.
Amen. Not everything requires the same degree of response. Rules and discipline without love and consideration will lead to anger, frustration, and rebellion.
Yes.
Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love your children. Give of your time and your interest.
Yes.
Give of your resources, your energy, your emotions, your time. Spend time with your children. Show interest in what they are interested in.
Yes.
Don't just go back to the phone and nod your head. Show interest in what they're interested in. Spend time in what they're interested in. Talk to them about it. If you expect to have a relationship with your child later when they're grown, you better build it early. Because if you don't build a relationship early, you're going to have a formal relationship with them as they get older. If you want a real close relationship, you build that early.
Amen.
I hear the expression all the time, quality time.
Yep.
And I know what that means. It means more than just sitting in the same room. But I also know quality is not a substitute for quantity. You can't have 5 good minutes and blow off the rest of the day doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
It don't work that way. Amen? You need quality time, focus time, but you also need a pretty good quantity of it.
Yes.
Amen?
True.
Your life is not going to be your own while your kids are at home. I know that may come as a shock for you and news to you, but the real truth is your life don't belong to you when you got kids at home.
Right.
It belongs to your family.
Amen.
Mom and dad, it belongs to your family. Yes, you have interests that need taken care of as parents, but your kids also have interests that need taken care of, and the family as a whole has interests that need taken care of. I used to tell them at work, there was always demands for extra time. There was always demands to be going to, oh, they wanted us to join every social club there was. I mean, from the Rotary to whatever, be involved, be out there, go to all the Chamber of Commerce meetings. And I used to tell them, don't ask after 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't buy me, you just rented me. Ran from 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, don't ask me to give you something that don't belong to me. That time already belongs to somebody else. That ain't mine to give you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, on rare occasions, I do that. I still do occasionally. But it ain't that often. And you say, well, you didn't advance the way you should have. Well, maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't. You're going to find,
right,
as you get older,
yep,
a lot of those things don't amount to nothing.
Amen. That's right.
If you look back,
mm-hmm,
if these things that are so important just don't mean much anything.
Amen.
Amen. Make the effort and make the sacrifice, because one thing you're going to find, this opportunity passes rather quickly.
Right.
Your kids grow up fast. They get their own interests. They get their own life pretty quick. Take advantage of the opportunities you have when you have them. Being a parent today is not easy.
No.
I recognize that. And I'm going to say this again. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, those of you who have time, assist people, especially with young children.
Amen.
Assist your kids. Assist your relatives. We need to help them be able to do what God's called them to do in raising a family. Amen. I made that commitment with my first granddaughter, and I'll make that commitment to each one of them. I'm going to do whatever I can to help them be able,
yes,
to have the most of their home life that they can have. Raising children to really know God in a secular society that's dominated by apostate Christianity is not easy.
Right.
And unless God intervenes, it's not getting easier, folks. This path is getting a little rougher. And yet, it is our greatest responsibility.
Right.
It's our calling. God has entrusted the teaching and training of your children to you.
That's right.
Amen? Well, as I said, all souls belong to God. God desires that everybody come to know Him and trust Him and love Him. That's why we're here, really. This is just a short space of time for sorting out who will really respond to God's love in loving Him in return, and trusting Him, and obeying Him. Amen? Those who will. This whole creation, all of creation, God spoke into existence in its magnificence, in its greatness, and in its detail. But He also tells us at the end, all that's going to pass away, and the only thing He's keeping for Himself is those that really come to know Him, have a relationship with Him, and love Him, and those He has taken as His special possession to be with Him forever and ever in heaven.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
The rest of this creation, as great as it was, is going to vanish away, and there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth.
Yeah.
Those who don't know Him are going to vanish into a lost eternity.
Mm.
Amen? So if you boil it down, there are a lot of reasons we're here, but the main reason is a sorting out place to see who will respond to God's love voluntarily. There's a real eternity that awaits you and me. There's a real eternity that awaits every one of our children. And where we will spend eternity is often determined while we're children, definitely influenced in the home in a great way.
Right.
What an awesome responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And we're going to give an account to God for how we handled this.
Right.
We're going to give an account to God for everything we've done in this life. This is part of what we're going to give an account for.
Right.
But I'll end up where I started. It's not just a big responsibility, it's a great treasure.
Yes, it is.
It can be one of the greatest things in life that you have.
Amen.
The gift of children that God's given you can be one of the greatest gifts. Family is probably the greatest gift God's given to any of us. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Everything else in life's going to fade, decay, lose its significance.
Yes.
But as you age, if your children truly know God, everything else can be falling apart and you're going to have a certain happiness in your heart.
Yes.
And I don't care how rich you are and how many people think you're wonderful, if your kids don't know God and you do, there's going to be a pain that nothing else will take away.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to challenge us.
Thank you, Lord.
I know you've got 150 different demands on your life. I feel the pressure too.
Sure.
I mean, we got all kinds of demands, right? We got all kinds of pressures. I find it almost impossible sometimes to try and be a perfect dad, to be a perfect husband, to be a perfect employee, to be a perfect pastor. I mean, all the pressures from every direction, it feels like constantly short somewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the way it is, but let's not be there because we didn't give it effort. Amen? You're not going to be a perfect parent, even if you give 110% effort to it. You're not going to be a perfect parent. Amen?
Yeah.
Just the way it is. We're limited in our knowledge.
Yeah.
But I wanted to challenge us this morning. I know. Happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Supposed to be uplifted. Hey, sorry. But
right.
I don't know. I have really had a certain seriousness about me the last while in my thinking. With what's going on in our nation, what's going on in society around us, it is incredibly important that we know God in a real way and that we transmit that knowledge of God to everyone we have a chance to. And your greatest responsibility are to those in your own family, particularly your children. But, hey, broaden it out. Your nieces, nephews, aunts and uncles, you have a responsibility to help where you can. Grandma and Grandpa, you have a responsibility to help where you can.
Help us, Lord.
Amen? Amen. May God bless you. Appreciate each one of you. May God bless you. As you stand as we close in the verse of song.